What is happening, everybody? Welcome into today's show. We're going to catch up with our buddy Chris Marler from the College Football Uncensored podcast. We're going to talk all things SEC with him. We'll get his thoughts on the Florida coaching hire, hiring Billy Napier, the LSU coaching opening. Also, could Bo Nix be on the move? Could South Carolina get one of the Oklahoma quarterbacks? We'll also preview the SEC championship game, Alabama versus Georgia. And, of course, we'll do a little bit of end-of-the-year recap. Tons of stuff to get into. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. Today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. I'm Chris Gordy. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube.
Big news breaking yesterday. And full disclosure, we did our sit-down interview with Chris Marler, which is coming up in just a minute. But we recorded with Marler right before all the LSU Brian Kelly news broke. So I wanted to do an extra segment and start with this before we get to our Chris Marler interview from College Football Uncensored. But the big news, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach, is heading to LSU. So Billy Napier, the new head coach at Florida, Brian Kelly, the new head coach at LSU. And look, there's a lot of people who hate on Notre Dame. There's a lot of people who hate on Brian Kelly. I'm just going to give you facts. You can decide for yourself whether good deal, bad deal, whatever. Over the past five seasons, Lincoln Riley, former Oklahoma coach who's now the USC head coach, was 55-10 over the last five seasons with three playoff appearances. In that same time span, Brian Kelly is 54-9 with two potentially three playoff appearances. We'll see if Notre Dame makes the playoff this weekend. I would assume Brian Kelly will not be coaching the team. I don't know. You also add in he's got 27 additional years as a head coach on his resume and averaging almost nine wins a year. Brian Kelly has 263 official wins as a head coach. If you add in his vacated wins, it's 284 wins. Either case, Pop Warner will be the only head coach in NCAA history to start a job with more career wins. LSU just hired one of six coaches to make multiple college football playoff appearances, a guy who has gone 44-6 the last 4 years, and he's the winningest coach in Notre Dame history. Keep in mind, Notre Dame history goes back a long way. Look, if you want my opinion, I think this is a home run hire for LSU. Now, you start to wonder about some of the details on the contract. There was one report that came out and said it's a 10-year deal taking him north of $100 million. So $10 million a year. Dennis Dodd reported it's somewhere in the $15 million a year range. It's a lot of money. That's what it took to bring Brian Kelly away from Notre Dame, a spot where he was in a good spot. I mean, like, why? He never had to leave Notre Dame. He could have retired there. The guy wanted to chase a championship. It's what he will have an opportunity to do with LSU. And I know Alabama fans are going to say, yeah, right, now with us here, and Georgia fans or whatever. The last three head coaches of LSU have all won championships. Nick Saban, Les Miles, Ed Orgeron. Brian Kelly looking at it saying, look, I've been to the playoff a couple times. I've been to the BCS title game. Played Alabama, of course. Got exposed and lost that game. He's going to have a different caliber player at LSU. We know the talent that Louisiana has. He's recruited very well at Notre Dame. In fact, his current recruiting class right now is ranked fourth in the country at Notre Dame. LSU is about 15th, give or take, with some of the decommitments they've had in the last week or so. If he can get any of those kids currently committed to Notre Dame to swing over to the LSU class, it's going to bump LSU's recruiting class up even more. Now, look, this year, you almost give him a pass because transitionally, this won't be his recruiting class. This is still kind of Coach O's class. He'll be jumping in with, what, 2 weeks before the early signing period. I say all that to say, Brian Kelly's recruited nationally at Notre Dame. He's now going to bring that to LSU. If he can do what Coach O kind of did, put up that fence around the state and keep most of the Louisiana kids at LSU, he's going to have a great chance to win games. The recruiting question has been brought up. Brian Kelly has never coached further south than Cincinnati. But again, he's landed Louisiana commitments in five of his last seven classes. So he already has a relationship with the South. And one of the other reports that came out, Corey Raymond, LSU's DBs coach, is expected to remain on the staff. He may be able to keep Mickey Joseph, Kevin Falk. All that's kind of out there. I saw Greg McElroy tweeted. He said, Brian Kelly is one of the best coaches I've ever been around. He wins everywhere he goes, and he does so quick, and will do so quickly at LSU. Total game changer. This is a grand slam for LSU football and Scott Woodward. Again, you can have your own opinion. I'm just telling you like it is. I think this is a great hire for LSU. I understand some LSU fans aren't excited about it. Some LSU fans hate Notre Dame. They hate Brian Kelly. And I get it. Whatever. Some people questioning the fit. Is there a cultural fit? Look, I think people get hung up on all that kind of stuff. When Nick Saban leaves Alabama, whoever Alabama hires next, they're not going to go, well, does he have ties to Alabama? No, you're going to hire the best coach, period, based on resume. And Brian Kelly has one of the best resumes. There were some people tweeting, man, I wanted Matt Rhule, or I wanted Matt Campbell, or I wanted this guy or that guy. Brian Kelly has the best resume of any coach available. And I say available because somebody said, well, what about Urban Meyer? I said, he is currently the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, and he is unavailable. So realistically speaking, of all the people that LSU could have gotten, Brian Kelly, on paper, appears to be a home run hire. Now, granted, it's about to get a lot tougher. Notre Dame doesn't play in a conference. They played in the ACC last year for a year. The SEC is brutal. Can you do this week in and week out? Facing the Auburns, the Arkansas, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Tennessees. You know, it's going to get much tougher for him. But I think Brian Kelly is set up to hit the ground running, whereas Billy Napier at Florida, I think, is going to be fine. But he may need a year or so to kind of get the guys he needs. As we know, Dan Mullen didn't do a great job recruiting. Coach O's done a great job recruiting at LSU. First thing he's got to do is get in there, try to keep the LSU kids, you know, the guys currently on the roster, stay, then get this recruiting class in and start hitting that transfer portal and seeing what he can add. So, anyway, my thoughts are, great hire. Like the hire for Florida. We'll talk about that in just a bit with our buddy Chris Marler. But SEC just keeps getting stronger, man. You now have an SEC West that includes Brian Harsin. I understand some people may be down on him after the last couple weeks, but should have beaten Alabama in the Iron Bowl last week. He blew it. Sam Pittman just had a phenomenal year at Arkansas, all things considered, with a brutal schedule. Lane Kiffin, if he stays at Ole Miss and Oklahoma or Notre Dame doesn't come calling for him. Mike Leach at Mississippi State. Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, one of the highest paid coaches. Nick Saban, of course. And now Brian Kelly. I mean, it is a brutal SEC West alone. And then let's see what happens. If Kirby wins a title at Georgia, you know, just going to add even more lore to the SEC West, making that much tougher, or SEC East making that much tougher. So anyway, I wanted to give you guys a quick reaction. When we return, we are going to talk all things SEC with our buddy Chris Marler from the College Football Uncensored podcast.
This is it, guys. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you are running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade now to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. They can automate your processes, close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. They got a great deal going on right now. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Also need to remind you about Prize Picks, still the leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world. They got all the star players of the Power Five, mid-majors. They've even got NBA, MLB, just any sport you can think of. They've got you covered at Prize Picks. Right now, if you go sign up, if you've never tried them before, use our promo code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N. You'll receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Use their award-winning app. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prize Picks is safe. They even offer fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Go check out prizepicks.com. Use our promo code LOCKEDON or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. And without further ado, we welcome in our buddy Chris Marler from the College Football Uncensored podcast. Marler, so much to discuss.
So much.
Thanks for dressing up today. We appreciate it.
You're wearing a sweatshirt too. It's cold outside right now. I'm not gonna apologize for that. I look great. Look at this somewhat 5 o'clock shadow. I don't know how to grow a beard. It's fine.
Yeah, you are in Atlanta. You will be in the center of the hotbed of the SEC championship game. Real quick plug, because I saw you guys. You're doing something at a brewery this weekend?
No, I'm glad you asked, because I just looked at it and there's it's not gonna actually happen. We had to cancel it like literally just now. Like I was like, Tyler, I was like, I think we're good. We're still gonna go out the night before. We have a buddy. If you're in Atlanta, come up to ASW Distillery up at the Battery, Atlanta, and it is, I think we're gonna be from eight to ten. Because our buddy runs it, so it's like, you know, we're gonna go regardless.
Yeah.
So we'll be there for that, and then Saturday. Saturday's gonna be a difficult day. Like I don't know when I'm gonna get it going and head on down there. But I always love going to fanfare. I've lived in the city my whole life. I've always enjoyed going down there because I love Dr. Pepper. It's free. hate the commercials. Love the drinks. So sure. There you go.
Who's performing? Isn't it a country singer?
You just end it right there. Like whatever you're just, it could be like a Family Guy thing. It's like, who's performing? Generic country singer with blonde highlights. That's exactly who it is. That's 1,000% who his name's Tad.
All right. Before the show's over, I'm going to look that up because I had Byron Hatch on from the SEC office last week and he's promoted. I just forgot who it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Chris Young, Stapleton, something.
It's not Chris Stapleton. That would make it more exciting to go for sure. I don't think, no, it's like when you have stuff like that, it's either you're on the come up or you're like, you know, it's not like state fair vibes. Like right. I remember going to a state fair in Oregon one time and it was like Blues Travelers here. I'm like, that guy's alive.
It's incredible. Hey, don't hate on John Popper. The hook brings you back. Let's get into some of the coaching news. Florida, man, as quickly as they fired Dan Mullen, they sure found their guy very quickly. Billy Napier, head coach at ULL. He has had a good run there 4 years, winning the Sun Belt, and he's a Saban disciple. He was Alabama's wide receivers coach years ago with Calvin Ridley and other guys, and has had a good run. And last year, you know, if you believe the rumors out there, South Carolina was offered to him, Auburn was offered to him. He turned all these jobs down, and now he takes Florida. He was waiting for the big job. Now he's got the big job. Thoughts on Billy Napier going to Florida?
So I'm gonna minorly correct you here because I don't think he was waiting on the big job. I think he's written on waiting on the right job. And this is something I thought that we were talking about this last night on the podcast. Like you didn't see this 10 years ago. Like would be you got a coach that is a longtime assistant gets a job as a head coach at a smaller school, and then he's just blessed one day. It's like you become like a what do you call it in the mob, and they're like you're untouchable. I'm not
a made
not
man.
The mob words. That's what it is. I don't know anything about the mob. If you couldn't tell, but no. So I gotta watch Goodfellas tonight. Basically, like when you talk to like coaches now, they have so much more power. It's a lot like the players, even. You know what I mean? Like with the transfer portal. But with Billy Napier, he has been like the name, right? We've heard Jamie Chadwell. We've heard other names that have kind of floated around, but this guy has been the name. It feels like it's like the top of, especially from the Group of Five coaches. And maybe Fickle, but I mean, especially in the SEC, which is that's where you have to make the biggest jump, right? I'm nervous for him in general because I feel like what we just saw with Dan Mullen and what they were coming off of, like Florida, I understand you guys are it's a very proud program and all that kind of stuff, but you were just coming off Will Muschamp and Jim McElwain. You know, things were not looking great. And so and Mullen put up a decent record until the final year. And I think he could have had another year if he just had the bad record and wasn't like an a-hole. You can't be both of those things and keep your job. But Napier, man, what was going on. Like, the reason why I didn't get, you know, like, I guess they didn't come to a deal like the first day or so is when you heard the rumors, because he made some demands and he told the administration flat out, like, I want to come here. This, like, I will sign on the dotted line, like, right now, but here are the things that I need to know you're committed to. And a lot of it's the stuff that we've heard for a while now that Florida's not committed to. And in this day and age of football, if you're not investing into recruiting, if you're not investing in your facilities, and on top of that, you also aren't, like, if you aren't doing those things and you haven't done them for like a while and several years, you're falling behind and falling behind fast.
Yeah. And one of the, his demands, we found out yesterday, he spoke with the media, introduced as the Florida head coach, that he is going to play in the Sun Belt Championship game this weekend. Actually, let me get that right. It's the 2021 Hercules Tires Sun Belt Football Championship game. So,
as a former Middle Tennessee State Blue Raider for one semester, I will say, you know, that's gonna be an electric atmosphere. But like, good for him, honestly, man. You look at some of these coaches that are, you know, we see this stuff with Jimbo, we see this stuff with Lincoln Riley, and kind of just like, you know, just using their name and like their very impressive resume to be able to like pull that kind of leverage.
Right.
Billy Napier going to the University of Florida after how high and mighty they were with firing Dan Mullen. And saying, like, you know what? I'm not coming here unless this happens. And it's like, what? I mean, it's an incredible power play. It's also the right move to make, because if nobody wants to go to a school and then be like, you know, he's not going to be able to recruit this year, right? So it's a wasted year. And if they're going to fire people in year three, like we've already seen, like, man, it's the turnaround time.
Well,
quick.
So first blush on this hire, 4 years from now, is the Billy Napier hire a success?
I'm not ready to say that, because I think there's so many things that go on in like,
I said first blush. First blush.
I don't know what that means. What is first blush? I didn't get married. You know that. Is that like first look? I don't know what you're saying. what is it, like a one word answer?
Just like right now. Obviously, your opinion could change next week, next year. Right now, do you think Billy Napier?
What did I say that caused this reaction? It's like, no, whatever you think, Chris. I agree with you.
I think right now the safe bet would be he does not win the East. Kirby continues to dominate. And I know Florida just won it a year ago, but like I would say maybe it doesn't work out. Now, look, there are things he could do. He could get a top 10 recruiting class, mm-hmm. a transfer quarterback. Maybe Anthony Richardson turns out to be the stud, the next Cam Newton. And like he's a stud. Like that could all happen. I'm just saying right now in the moment, it feels like this isn't a hire that's going to take Florida to higher heights.
So, I'll say, piggybacking on that, like in the close with it is, I still wouldn't blame him for it. Like, there's no part of me that thinks he's not going to be a good coach, because I think he is a good coach, and everything we've heard and seen so far would prove that. I wonder what Florida, as the university and a fan base and a administration and your alumni, I wonder how toxic that whole environment has become. With their expectations and the way things can fall apart so quickly. I mean, the McElwain thing, McElwain was making up fake death threats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that you gotta be in a pretty bad place. If you're like, I mean, I've lied about some stuff in my life to other people, death threats. That's a lot, man. You bring the FBI in that.
And fake shark photos as well. There was that.
Those were hot though. That was great.
Give our listeners a quick update. I know you guys have been doing episodes every week heading into into the bowl season. I'm sure you guys will be doing that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so. I think it's been a fun first year. We started in January. My co-host Tyler Huck and I, known him for years. We actually had a podcast before called Winning and Boozing. And so this has kind of become like spawned off that. And it's an even more professional version of that. sometimes. So yeah, it's been
and cursing. There's cursing.
Yeah. So there's a lot of bad words. Like that was kind of like the whole thing you know, been at STS for a long time. Was on a different podcast, and I just, you know, like I've always had bad language and bad posture, and I think those two things are fine. They can be corrected, but honestly, only one of them needs to be. So I think we've had a blast, man. I think it also is like we don't say it. There's been episodes where I've said it too many times. I will say that, but no, I mean, it's like it's just you're having a beer, shooting the shit with your friends, and talking about college football because it's the best time of year.
It is. It's a sad time of year because the season comes to an end, but it is the crazy times. And speaking of crazy times, coming up next, we're going to preview the SEC championship. But quickly, I just wanted to mention Bo Nix doing an interview with our buddy Jim Dunaway at Next Round Live, said that he's exploring all options this offseason.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's like you're talking about, you could change majors. you could transfer, but like probably to another in-state school with even worse, like, because like your credentials aren't gonna, or your credits aren't gonna transfer.
You're the guy, you're 3.5 years into an engineering degree and you're right. Like, I think I want to do psychology.
Should I do, you know, art history is, there's definitely a career in that. You know, do I want to have Friday classes? Probably not. Do I want to just be on campus Tuesday, Thursday only? That's what I did. Do I want to take 12 hours? Do I want to drop down to 9? Chris always dropped down to 9. Bo Nix does not have options. I mean, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that.
Is it better for Auburn if he leaves?
No, I don't think that at all either. It, like, you know, I never thought I would say this, but you just watched a game in one of, like, probably the most fiercest rivalries in college football. Like, Auburn probably wins that game by 14 points.
If Nix plays, I agree. Yeah.
Like, somebody said that to me on a Facebook Live after the game, and they were like, if Bo Nix is in, we win by 14. I was like, my God, what a sentence. I never thought I would hear that in my entire life. I mean, so it's like, he's been like, you know, up and down. We see the good Bo, bad Bo. You know, we were in Baton Rouge and we saw the miracles he was pulling there. It was ridiculous. But I don't think that TJ Finley is necessarily the guy. I don't know if they have a guy coming in behind him. Like, in any time, like, you're a coach this early on in your tenure, like in the SEC, like the more stability and like familiarity you have, like from a signal caller or like a, you know, a leader, you want to hold on to that for as long as possible.
All right. More with Chris Marler in just a second. We will get into the SEC championship game. First, want to remind you guys, you listen to podcasts, for the power of the inside track. If you switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money, because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone. So you can listen to the latest episodes of your favorite podcast to keep up with your favorite players and teams. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line, so your family can share all the insights. And the power of one of America's largest 5G networks, so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and the edge that you will gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. You get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and 1 per line. Additional restrictions apply. Also, that time of year with bowl season about to start up, BetOnline has got you covered all the rest of bowl season with props, odds, and lines more than ever before as football season is coming to an end. And, of course, college hoops season is starting to heat up. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all sports action this season. Head over to their new updated website. Sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. It's LOCKED from basketball, football, boxing, UFC. Whatever it is, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. Roll along here, Locked On SEC. One more segment with our buddy Chris Marler from the College Football Uncensored podcast. And Marler, we got to get into previewing the SEC championship game. Alabama versus Georgia. I've seen this line, man. It is we're gonna have major line movement by the end of the week, right? Like,
So they set up like I don't know if it was an actual line or if it was like the hypothetical, you know, potential line, because like the Bama still had clinched at this point, but the West, but it was like Georgia -1, and I think they did it like they thought it was like a shock value, like, ooh, Georgia's favorite, like, yeah. No shit, man. They're a much better team. We've watched it for most of the season. So then like the actual line comes out last week at like a couple places, like Circa, and it was -3, right? Which is a pretty standard line. That's fine. And then you see, like, I mean, it was like minutes after that game ended, and it jumps to 6.5 immediately. Right. And it should. That's exactly what it should be. And like, I think, I mean, they're gonna try to drive this thing up because people are going to hammer Georgia, and they should, because being only a touchdown favorite against this team that we've seen struggle so much, and they do only have 1 loss. They have found a way to win consistently. But yeah, man, I think that, like, this is my biggest nightmare as somebody that grew up in the state of Georgia, lived in Atlanta, and grew up a Bama fan my whole life. I've been dreading this day for quite some time. Not as bad as what's going to happen in January when they burn this city to the ground. Because I mean, this is not like the culmination of the end of the season. This is 1,000% like a coronation of what Kirby Smart has built.
Yeah.
And that program. And listen, here's the deal. I don't know. We were talking about this earlier about how, like, you know, Kirby will probably still be first in the East, and you know, whoever's at Florida will be under him. I don't know if he goes off on a run like we saw with Saban, you know, and consistently they're a top five team, but I don't know if they're going to challenge for a title every year, that you would think they probably would with how good of a recruiter he is. But this team is like, it's not as likable. It's not even close to being as likable as the LSU 2019 team. But we talk about like that offense and Bama's offense from last year. And like, you know, this team has like an identity of that defense, and it's incredible. It really is. Like there's honestly not enough stuff you can even say about it to where it's like, to put it in perspective, because I've said this in the offseason, and I honestly didn't think it would come true, but the 2011 Bama defense, and this is not me being a homer. This is statistically, they're the best defense in the history of college football. They led the country in every single major category. They gave up like 173 total yards a game, which is ridiculous. They gave up like 7.8 points per game. And those are numbers that are like, Jesus, man, you get to 9-0, the game's over. This defense has somehow been better.
Yeah.
And on top of that, and they're also deeper. Not just from a numbers, they're also deeper.
You're watching like second and third string guys coming in. And I mean, it's so deep, it's ridiculous. And, you know, look, I'm probably going to pick Georgia to win the game, and they're the favorite and all that. But like, I had an Alabama fan come at me on social media saying, oh, you know, you're not giving them a chance. I'm saying, look, Alabama absolutely has a chance whenever Nick Saban's on the sidelines. Like, I don't care. Right. I don't care what Georgia has. I don't care. We know Alabama's got number one, you know, recruiting class talent from every year that they have. So, like, while this roster is not as dominant as past Alabama teams, it still fits the mold of it's a team that could very well win this game, get to the playoff, and win a championship. They just can, because Nick Saban's there. And here's the thing. They've got two superstar stud talents in Bryce Young and Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Who I think if you take Will Anderson off this team loses three or four games. If you take Bryce Young off this team.
I said this earlier in the year. It was like this most miserable epiphany I'd ever had. I was like, where would this team be without Will Anderson? And then I was like, where would this team be without Jameson Williams?
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Look at the dynamic of the Iron Bowl. How much, when he went out on that targeting, it was like, wow, like can Alabama's offense, and you know how good John Metchie is, and he stepped up, but also, you know, the other guys, the inexperienced guys, but man, no, I mean, Jameson Williams, I would put as like 2A, like behind Will Anderson and Bryce Young, he's just as important.
I mean, he led the SEC in receiving yards, which was kind of crazy. I didn't realize that, but they, like, you know, Metchie, I said this like all year, like the problem you're going to have, like, replacing, because Bama fans are the worst. They're super obnoxious and entitled, and always we reload, man. It's not even a question. You know, you reload when you have like AJ McCarron playing quarterback. You know what I mean? Like when AJ McCarron and Preston Dial are your receiver or your tight end and quarterback combination, sure, you'll reload 1,000%. When you replace a Heisman Trophy winner that had like 30 touchdowns, or 20 touchdowns at receiver, and then you also have to replace a first round quarterback that was a Heisman Trophy finalist and finished like third. And then you also replace a running back who had 30 touchdowns total and finished fifth in the Heisman. You don't reload from that. That's generational talent that, like, you don't – all three of those guys, no matter how goofy Mac Jones looks without a shirt on, all three of those guys were alphas in their own way. They would come in and, like, if need be, they would put the team on their back. There's no reason that Devontae Smith, weighing 117 pounds, like – would go out there and get open that many times. Everyone in the stadium, in the country, the ball's going to him. Bama doesn't have a guy like that here. And I tell you what, we talk so much about this Georgia defense because it's as we should, they're incredible to watch. It's suffocating, and they're so effing disciplined. I miss that so much from Nick Saban defenses. This defense is so disciplined. They're so consistent in everything they do, and they don't make mistakes. But the offense for Georgia, I don't hear it. A lot of people saying that Georgia's offense isn't good. I haven't heard anyone say that. Georgia fans have convinced themselves that people have said that. And this guy, Sexton Bennett IV, Just, I mean, like he's had such an incredible year, and I was so down on him last year. I was very outspoken about it because I thought it was, you know, another bonehead move from Kirby. But like this team is like, they've been quietly having like the biggest margin of victories in any team of any team in the country. They're putting up almost 40 points a game, and the games are over in like the second quarter.
Well, let me give you the biggest stat I loved about Stetson Bennett is the number six. He's been sacked 6 times on the season. That's the least of any SEC quarterback.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't know that.
So that, like, not only are they playing elite defense where they give up a touchdown a game, but on offense, they're doing enough where they're balanced run attack, passing attack, and they don't allow, the offensive line doesn't allow Stetson Bennett to get sacked.
Bama got sacked 5 times in the first half last week. So, and like, honestly, like, if you're a Bama fan, and I should have looked into this earlier, it's a good, it's a really great stat, because like my thought is like, you watch Will Anderson take over the second half of this season,
right?
And he's a monster, right? It's like, you know, there's not, I don't think there's anybody in the country that can block him. So Georgia's gonna have to figure something out, but apparently they already have.
Well, but that's so, the argument is they have not faced an elite pass rusher like Will Anderson yet this year. So,
I think one thing that I understand from Georgia fans being like, they're tired of hearing is like, yeah, but you didn't do this. It's like every other time we've seen an SEC team go undefeated in the conference, we know they're the best team in the country. And I think everyone knows this is the best team in the country, but like all, it's the same stuff we have with Harbaugh. Like in the past, like, oh, he's a terrible coach. Like, look at his record against Michigan State and Ohio State. Kirby has a track record of making some pretty bad decisions.
Yeah.
And losing some games he shouldn't have lost. This team is completely different. And like, it's almost like a flex that he's able to do it. Like, we know how good the defense is, but he's got like, kind of like Lambda Chi, like their B team flag football. Like athletes out there like, hey, here's what's his name? McConkey.
Right.
Here's Ladd. Here's Brock. He went to Napa Valley and got a tight end. He's the best tight end in the country.
Yeah,
as a freshman.
Brock Bowers, yeah.
That kid was supposed to be third string. He was the third string tight end behind the two other guys supposed to be the best tight ends in the country. Stetson Bennett, you hate on him all you want if you're, you know, an opposing fan, but leads the SEC in passer rating, QBR, yards per attempt, and then also like completion percentage on passes 20 yards downfield. But I will say this. I think Georgia wins by 14 points or more. I've been saying that for weeks. I don't think anything changes from that. Because, I mean, make no mistake about it, man. They want this to hurt.
Right.
Like, the kind of stuff that like they've had to endure as fans has been awful, right? They definitely want this to hurt, and as you should.
And Jimbo finally broke the Saban assistant curse. So right. Now it opens the door for Kirby.
Sure. But I think that you've watched this offensive line be worse and worse throughout the season. I don't know how they have an answer for it. Like they've been bad. And you brought this up earlier. It's not like one thing. It's like, oh, you know, they brought a safety blitz. He can't pick up, like, you know, when a backer comes, like, or they overload his side. Or we saw A&M do it with just a front four and sometimes a backer. We saw Florida do it with just a front four. We saw LSU do it with just a, like, you know, zero blitz, bringing everybody and put everyone in man. We saw Auburn do it with more exotic stuff. Every which way you bring a blitz, they don't have an answer for it. And Georgia has a Yao Ming that like is somehow still LeBron at defensive tackle.
They're just going to rush Jordan Davis, and that's it. He's just going to be.
It should be all-time quarterback.
One against five.
Who cares? Yeah. But I think that honestly, man, all that being said, and I know once the game gets closer, I'll probably have a little bit more confidence about it. Because
let's end it on this. Bama wins if. Finish that sentence.
They win if, so they got to be +2 in the turnover margin.
Okay.
For sure. They have to at least force it, like probably at least one turnover deep in Georgia's territory or in Georgia's territory. And they can't get behind. Like if you get to that point where if you lose the, what do you call it? The coin flip and you don't get the ball first, or you do get the ball first, you don't score. I hate to say it. I said it's like 2011 all the time. If Bama got to 9 points, the game was over. And this Georgia team is giving up 6.9, very nice, points per game. If Georgia scores, like, if Georgia goes up by double digits at any point, I mean, I'm just going to go drink in the bathroom. I don't want to watch that shit.
Hey, if you go in with expectations your team is going to lose, you can't be disappointed, right? So
I'm going to support a friend who literally texts me. He goes, listen, I went with you to the 2008 blackout game. to watch the start of this dynasty. And I was like, uh-huh. And he's like, I want you to be there to witness it, the end of it. I was he's taking me over his wife. I was like, this is messed up, but I would go.
Unbelievable. Chris Marler, the College Football Uncensored podcast. Go check it out. Always fun to catch up, man.
You too, man.
All right, there he goes. Chris Marler of the College Football Uncensored podcast. That is just about going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. Appreciate you guys for listening and, of course, making us your first listen every day. Now that you made Locked On SEC your first listen, go make your second listen. Check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, and expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. I'm Chris Gordy. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.